Really honored to have our guests in this morning. We'll start first, Dr. Quincy Scott's on my right this morning. He's the director of SIU Family and Community Medicine Residency Program. First off, docs, good to see you again. And also this morning, we've got Chief Operating Officer Bart Milstead who's joining us this morning as well. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Great, thanks.
I got a question for you. Well, I got a bunch. What do you call it? What do you call the School of Medicine? Because my instincts is automatically called the SIH School of Medicine.
Yeah,
you're going to throw that one off.
Let Quincy.
Our new logo is SIU Medicine Forward for You, and SIU School of Medicine. The mission is to for Central and Southern Illinois to reach the medical patient or take care of patients for medical care in Central and Southern Illinois.
And what's interesting about this, all right, this construction that is already underway highlights a relationship that's been going on since 1974. This, you know, and it's interesting because I had no idea. I always think School of Medicine Springfield.
Right. The School of Medicine, when it started, the mission was for Central and Southern Illinois, but the Department of Family and Community Medicine, it has four programs with Decatur, Illinois, Springfield, Illinois, Quincy, Illinois, and Carbondale. And the Carbondale program started in 1974. Our program started in the hospital. At that time, we had four residents per year. It's a three-year program. And in the mid-90s, we switched and added two more residents. So now we're at a total of 18. Then later on, we added a sports medicine fellowship, which is a one-year fellowship. They've completed their residency program, and that's been going on for about 12 years now. And all this is in support from SIH. So our residents are employed by SIH, but the faculty are employees of SIU. So that kind of clears it up for you.
What do you think it'll be? What do you think it'll pan out? What do you think? Because people have a tendency to abbreviate it. You think it'll just eventually be called the School of Medicine? That's how people will use it as a handle. I mean, people have a tendency to abbreviate, shut down, cut down. I mean, they don't call it Carbondale Memorial Hospital. They call it Memorial Hospital, right? Some people just call it the Marion Hospital. I wonder how it'll pan out.
Yeah, well, this building is special in a lot of different ways. But the other thing is we're sharing it with the SIU Physician Assistant Program. So we're joining resources to be able to share resources. So it is SIU Medicine, and the building will be leased by SIH, which is they've always been very supportive of our department. But within the Department of Family and Community Medicine is the SIU Physician Assistant Program that started in 1997. So our director at the time was Dr. Penny Tippy. She's locally from West Frankfort, who's now retired. But when she did her residency in upstate New York, she worked with physician's assistants and knew that it was going to be growing. So we started the program in 1997 with the help of my wife, who's also a physician assistant, Katie Scott and Lori Dunn Resnick. And what we did is we did problem-based learning, and that program started out with 18 students a year, and it's a 27-month program, and now it's expanded to 40 students every year. And so now the family medicine residency program and the sports medicine program will be on the first floor of this new building that's 42,000 square feet. On the second floor, we'll have the SIU Physician Assistant Program and some of our offices. With that is a 2,500 square feet conference room that we will share. It can be a big conference where we can invite community providers in for CME, or we can divide it up into three different classrooms at different times.
And wasn't that also designed that in emergency could be used to treat people as well?
No, we're not in urgent care, but we are on hospital campus. It's going to be one block north of the parking garage, and like I said, it's going to be a two-story building. The nice thing is right now we're in the professional building, which is on the second floor, and some of our patients ask, you know, is there any way we can go down to the first floor? So we're going to have a circle drive where with a patient drop-off, there's going to be a canopy, so if it's raining, the canopy will be there,
right.
And as you walk in, the first thing you come to is the registration desk.
$17 million. 41,000 square foot. Oddly enough, my father just a couple of years ago was involved in building a training surgical unit so that everything was in it just the way that it was supposed to be while these people were being trained. He did this in Springfield. And when you start realizing what you've got to deal with this morning, we're joined by Bart Milstead. It's not just a wall with this. I mean, a radio station, we've got the equipment in here, but it's nothing without the people. We all know that. But the detail that is required to go into this is a whole order of magnitude above what people deal with customarily.
Yeah, when you start talking about building medically, there's a lot of regulations that you have to deal with. As Quincy said, we're building about 40,000 square feet, and a lot of that is going to be patient care areas. So we want to be sure that we identify those ADA standards and those sort of things that go along with building that type of space.
And there's a, and then you've got safety issues, oxygen lines, isolation. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into it that I think people just probably take for granted, you know, but it's an expense in almost every quarter. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, we're talking with Bart Milstead this morning. He's Chief Operating Officer, SIH. What's the analogy for a PA today? Because they have become the new infantry, the new, I'm trying to figure out what would be the right military metaphor for the what PAs take up now when it comes to patient care, because they are some heavy lifters.
Right. There are a couple of different types. There are nurses who've become nurse practitioners.
Right.
And there are people who are physician assistants, like Quincy was talking about his wife. We've seen across the country a lot of, you know, as far as a shortage in nurses, RNs, physicians. And so the wave of the future is going to be physician assistants, yeah, nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, to spread that out so that we can provide more access to our patients.
But here's the thing, and it's interesting because I read all the comments. I read the published reports about this, and there was a subtext that I think was not properly touched on, but you just did. All the research that's coming down the pipe, and this is not just the United States. Japan is trying to figure out. I mean, they're looking at robots as solutions. That there's a shortage coming when it comes to healthcare across this country, especially my age group. Mm-hmm. As we get into this, you know, we're living longer, and we've known this for probably the better part of 12 years. Nurses in particular, but doctors too. We have a huge shortage coming across this country, and I think when I looked and we talk about the relationship with SIU and how we're going to train more people, probably good to stay away from the term desperate. But a very important shortage is coming our way, and this is one way that we can deal with this gap. I've talked to Senator Durbin about this. There's more money coming to nursing programs because this is a recognized phenomenon that is getting ready to occur if it's not already happening.
And this building is unique in that we're bringing the SIUPA program in to be with the residency program for family medicine. So not only are we going to share resources, we're going to learn together. And so you have these trainers learning together. So when they graduate and become employees, they're going to go out and build the team that that's going to be well known to them because they did that as students and residents. So it really is a great concept. And I really want to thank SIH for helping us get this going, and the new building is just the start of a bright future for both the family medicine residency program and the SIUPA program.
Here's the thing. I've got several friends of mine who went on to be doctors after we knew each other as kids. And I've noticed that there's a prestige involved. I've got one particular friend of mine who, a very good friend of mine for many years, John Hopkins, residency at John Hopkins. All right. There's a prestige involved. So there's a culture involved, which means we have that same goal here, to create a reputable program so that there is some prestige that I attended the SIU School of Medicine in Carbondale. How do you do that?
Well, for the SIUPA program, last year they won the National Scholar Bowl, and that is out of 83 physician assistant programs. They beat Duke, Yale, and some of the top-notch schools.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Can we have that tattooed on their foreheads? That's probably a bit much, isn't it?
Well,
how about a medal then or something? Because that's the person I want. Right.
Well, I think SIU medicine has a foundation in problem-based learning, which the SIU Physician Assistant Program starts from day one. And a problem-based learning program is you take an actual patient case, you divide up all the questions that you would ask that patient, you take all the physical exam findings, all the lab values, and during the week you work through that case. But what you're doing is you're learning the basic science and the pathophysiology, the pharmacology of how do you help this patient. And so you remember that information instead of going to a lecture lecture where you're just getting a pharmacology lecture on medications that you can't really connect to anything. Problem-based learning is a really unique thing, and the SIUPA program has been doing that from day one. They also have 100% pass rate almost every single year. Which
yeah,
is
in
really
a world good. Where many educators tell me that we don't teach critical thinking anymore, and it's a problem, that's where you want it, right there.
Right. And the other thing is that we went together in a joint effort with, it's the SIU Family Medicine Residency Program, the SIU Physician Assistant Program, and actually the medical school. And so it's the first year medical students here in Carbondale, and we have a $2 million grant that we're working on population health, social determinants of health. And what we did is we actually, it's a five-year grant. The first year we were actually able to plan, and then the second year it rolled out that we worked together, did interdisciplinary conferences, and then now we're rolling it out to the other programs in Central Illinois, also the PA program hub sites that are on small rural communities.
So 18 months, you think you're going to get this done, Bart?
14 months.
14 months.
We're pushing it, Tom.
I guess you are. Yeah. Somebody right now is going, oh, what? We're doing this in 14? 14 months is very good.
Yeah.
Especially for a structure like this with the intricacies that you and I touched on earlier. So you've got to develop this relationship. There's an output that's expected. What does this mean for you and SIH as a whole, as it's added? Is it, we consider this a module that's been added to the entire unit of SIH. How do you see that representation of what this means to the body as a whole?
Well, not only just to SIH, but to the region. Adding this building not only doubles the size and space that they have to do their education, it's also a way to attract high-quality medical residents, and that's the key.
It's weird how I interpret that. But you know, it's weird because of all the other rhetoric that's going on. The first thing I think of is that means a higher enrollment. I mean, it's interesting what you hear and how we interpret things.
Right. And
You think it means a higher enrollment?
Well, there are certain criteria, and I'm not going to go into all that, but there's 18 slots
right. That
the medical school can use, and so that's what we have every year is 18.
18 should be your output.
Yes.
Okay.
And our goal and Quincy's goal is to get the best 18 medical school candidates that we can get,
and then tie them up to the town square light pole.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
One thing is retaining, another thing is retaining.
Right.
Right. And we also train, so we're a site for SIU Medical School. So sometimes the third year students, medical students from Springfield come down and do a family medicine rotation. But we also have a connection with Kirksville Osteopathic Medical School, and we take eight of their students. So the first 2 years of their medical school they do in Kirksville, Missouri. Then they move to Carbondale. They become part of our community, and they do all the third and fourth year with some electives away if they choose to do that.
Why
in the fourth
here
year.
For 3 and 4 years? What do they learn here that they don't get in Missouri?
It's called a hub site. So right. What you do is Kirksville Medical School, after the second year, they go out to a different states. There's several different states they go to. So we decided we would do that in Carbondale, and so we host them, and they become part of the Carbondale. And we've had several of their medical students graduate and become our residents, and now some that are in the community. So it works out really well.
So this is a lofty idea. If you got to get it off the ground, then you've got to staff it. It doesn't seem like that'll be a problem. I mean, when it comes to it, when I say staffing it, I'm talking about students, but there's still that shortage. I wonder, what does that mean for us in the future, especially in Southern Illinois when it comes to healthcare? And I often read the census reports and look at the average age of given communities in Southern Illinois compared to others, and knowing that we, in particular, have an older level community, many younger people leaving part of the exodus, and what this means for us. I mean, what do you think it does mean for us in the future when it comes to shortages and healthcare in Southern Illinois? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think with a new building, that's one thing, recruiting. So I've been talking, Bart and I meet every month, and we've been talking about how a new building would really help us. It's going to be a freestanding building, and they're going to know that there is a comprehensive or a patient-centered medical home, and we're going to bring in patients. But also when candidates interview, medical students from all over the nation come to interview in Carbondale, they're going to see the state-of-the-art building that SIH has helped us build, and I really think our future is bright.
All right. A lot of money, a lot of people, a lot of interest, and deadly important at some point in someone's life, that person that comes out of your program. That's the part I think that often scares me a little bit. You train someone and you send them out in the world and their job is to save somebody's lives and you know you've played a role in that. I think that's intimidating as hell. I really do. All right. It's one thing to, you know, maybe train a disc jockey and he goes out and uses a bad word on the radio. But, you know, when you're training a police officer, you're training somebody in medical care, you're training somebody in firefighting, that's a whole different ballgame. Do the young students get this in a way that when you're training and you come into contact with them?
Our students really enjoy coming to Carbondale because our community, they know it's part of an educational facility. And patients take pride in helping train. I have patients out there today, they say, I remember you when you were a resident and I helped train you. And they really did. And so it's a team effort.
Is that the doctor's childhood? Is their residency as a professional? Is there some fondness? I noticed this about why I did my residency and this guy meant a lot to me. I see that as this transfer of culture. I see it in athletic programs. I didn't realize how prevalent it was in medicine until I started realizing how elite groups interact, and we don't really are aware of it. You're the only female surgeon. You have your peers.
In family medicine, it's continuity of care. We have the beauty of doing a follow-up. So, you know, in medical school, they teach us certain medications. We'll treat this, but sometimes that doesn't work. And so you need to listen to your patient. And I learned early on, and this is what I help teach, is that if you listen to your patient, they'll tell you what's wrong. So you don't need, like, fancy tests or studies to kind of let you know what's going on. So I think it's you need patients that are there and are willing to see students to let them learn, to become future providers. And I really think our community, I would like to thank our community because they do a really good job with that. And they actually take pride in it. And that's what has the learners stay and want to become part of the community.
One of the things I want to do before I let you go today, we're also joined this morning by Chief Operating for SIH, Bart Milstead. Now, here's the thing, Bart. People who are in the area around the construction, your guidance for them for the next 14 months? You got a thought here?
Well, the first part is that we're looking at about 300 new construction jobs to do that for the region. And they do have a tight schedule, so we're really excited. This not only is this building going to help us recruit top talent, but it also is helps us with our campus, the look of our campus, and as you said, how do we look in the community, and what are we referred to as SIH? And we do a lot of things for the community, but one of the key things we do is develop and work that relationship with SIU. You know, you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, what does this really mean? And what this means is that...
And I'm glad you brought this up, because, I mean, what does it mean to me? Right? I've got a friend of mine who's always says, all right, do you have to know how a television works for you to enjoy it? I personally do. Most people don't, all right? All right, so let's look at this from a practical application. What does it mean to a 55-year-old male or a 62-year-old female in Southern Illinois to have this and how it affects their health care going into the future? I mean, that's really the outcome is what it's all about in medicine. Right. And how do you see this, Bart?
Well, when you look at historically, since the inception of this program, there's been 188 residents that have graduated. 30% of those, right? 60 residents have stayed in this region. So
that's a good number, by the way.
If it wasn't for the forethought of SIU, for Dr. Penny Tippy, for you know Dr. Scott, and those relationships that were built and worked together with us, you'd have the possibility of having 60 less primary care physicians in this area.
Can you imagine 60 less? And I assume one of you guys maybe even have a number rolling in your head what one physician sees in a day.
Let the doctor answer.
You got a
clue
on
that?
Yeah,
I think on the average, 25 to 30 patients a day.
All right, so we'll call it 27 and multiply by 60 and then multiply by, you know, 52 weeks at 5. You start, I wish I had a calculator right here in front of me. You start realizing the long-term impact of what this means. 17 doctors, you could do it that way too, as each year what you contribute to the overall medical plan that we have here right now. And the fact, correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing even remotely like this south of 64. This is it.
Yes.
For all of Southern Illinois. and what that represents, because you and I have just, we didn't fall off the cabbage truck yesterday. You know, I'm going to Paducah for healthcare. I'm going for CAPE. I'm going to St. Louis, right? We've heard it all of our lives. This continuing desire to build a medical community in Southern Illinois that doesn't require its residents to go 150 miles or 100 miles for care. That's a lofty and admirable goal, and I've seen it being accomplished, and I'm pretty impressed when you think about it, because I can remember more than once, I've, you know, broken hands, broken legs, all these things, going to Evansville.
Right.
Because that's where the osteosurgeon was.
Well, in addition to that, it helps training. So you have all these specialists where the residents and medical students benefit from them volunteering to teach us, and then we get to work with them as the team once they graduate. And I do think that's one of the attractions of why our residents and physician assistants graduates stay in Southern Illinois. It's just a great working relationship with the specialist. I trained up in Chicago, and then I came down to Carbondale, and I really felt like, you know, I was part of the team from day one as a medical student. That grew as a resident, and now I'm as a faculty. I mean, the whole concept, and I think SIH is really good with this, is that it's a team effort. We all work together. We're there to take care of the patient. The patient comes first. So our program, we're there for two reasons: for great patient care, but also education. And SIH helps us with that. And with SIU Medicine, our dean Jerry Cruz is out of Springfield, but he was a family physician in Quincy. He was the program director, then the chair, and now he's the dean of the medical school, which really helps family medicine in Southern Illinois.
It's interesting how you, as time goes by, you view this as purely academic, and then there's the day you're in the emergency room and it's your friend behind the glass and you see their blood pressure go to zero systolic, diastolic pressure as they thrash in their bed after an aneurysm, and you realize you want good people caring for your friends. That's the day that comes home to you. It's not academic anymore. And I was very impressed with the staff at the emergency room. I was there with this person. And watched this and how they were cared for, and then the way the family that I was with at the time reacted to it, it becomes something more than Gray's Anatomy and an academic and an article in the newspaper or something you saw on the radio station website, when you realize the difference. And that, by the way, had a positive outcome. And right? Everybody That's in the awesome. Room smiled when they learned that
right.
part,
yeah.
because when you see that, it scares you to death.
Mm-hmm.
Went to be so close and to watch that, and that you guys deal with this type of thing every day, is a testament to your character and durability.